understanding in your life. You start to meditate, think about God more. You think about praying and just talking to God more, and you kind of like to be left alone. You just want to be left alone, right?
Right.
You know, and just pray to God and everything, because in business, that's why I was kind of worried about you, because in business, you can't talk with God. It frustrates you. It confuses you. You start to get confounded or whatever because it's interrupting. They say, well, what are you doing? You're not busy. I'm just busy sitting here thinking. I'm busy meditating. But that's what I see. I was talking with my father before he passed, years before he passed, and he had told me, said, son, it'd probably be about 45 or 50 before you develop a sound mind. A lot of us hadn't developed a sound mind. We're too busy to develop a sound mind. You have to slow down and stand still to see the salvation of the Lord. The getting of understanding, what we was talking about last time, and that's what, as you get older and get further along the road, you start to see, who else see what I'm seeing? Who else see what I'm seeing? And you start to see, and you kind of, it does something to you because you start to realize everybody don't see what you see. You start to discern and see the others around you that don't see it. You seen it didn't confuse Jesus, but it says he looked at his disciples, he looked at some of the people that just wasn't getting it, and he said that he marveled. His disciples couldn't get it while he was here on earth. He couldn't get it. And you notice that today that people just don't get it. And that's what you're looking for, somebody that gets it. You can tell when somebody gets it because of that hunger that gets in them. They get a thirst and a hunger. And I hadn't seen that in anybody in a long time. You can hear it in bits and pieces. But the thing that bothers you, you see it in people in the world and not in the church. The world seems more occupied with the church or what right matters, a lot of those in the world, than people in the church do. So as you pray, and we're praying to God, we look at King Lemire here. This is prayer, understanding. We're still trying to flesh out this understanding, praying with the understanding. And I gave you that big sheet on understanding last time.
So this is if you pray in silent, God don't hear you. You got to pray out. You got to speak out vocally.
And I don't see that in the scripture. A lot of people, they say, well, if that's the case, what about your thought life or whatever? I just don't understand those things. It's stuff like that bothers me. What makes them think like that? If God could see my thoughts, and if God's in my silent, when you pray to God, he says, be still. I can't say that it's true. I don't see it in scripture otherwise saying it's true. Just like a lot of people tell you about what posture to use in prayer, whether you should be kneeling or laying down or whatever, stretched out, all of that. See, God said, those who worship me shall worship me in spirit and truth. He said, pray with the understanding. So Paul says, cease not to pray. Pray all the time. So people that's like that are more or less legalists. Because prayer also is meditating on God's word. If we've been seeing it's meditating up on God's word. But people like that come along and bother you because a lot of times what happens is the devil can't see your thought life, but he can hear it. That's why a lot of times he wants you to speak it. He don't know it until you speak it a lot of times. He can't. He's not omnipresent. He's not omniscient. He don't know what you're thinking. He can judge your tendencies. That's why it says, be slow to speak. If you can go cry out to God, that's what you want in praying, but I don't think that he doesn't turn an ear on silent prayer. See, because God communicates, I have that in here to go through it in a few minutes. We could just skip to it. 1 Corinthians, the second chapter. That's good. I like that. See, that's what I like is, see, on the battlefield, we need to know what people communicate to us, who's bringing this and who's saying that, because that tells me that you're getting into it with somebody. Because that's what I do most of the time. Well, where did you learn that? Who told you that? I don't think it's right. You know, that's what I do most of my time. You know, I'm not a pacifist going along with everybody. That's why you're in the denomination the way you're at, because we don't agree on this. And that's what I'm militant on that. I'm militant with the Bible. I'm like you on that, Brother Dead. Who's, as I said, you know, I'm just saying, where in the scripture, who says that I have to say that? You know, I'm just saying a lot of preachers tell you a whole lot of different things. But like I said, preachers is the one we have to watch out for. Okay. Let's, 1 Corinthians, and I'll tell you the second verse, 10th through 11th verse.
First Corinthians,
second chapter, 10th through 11th verse. Okay. See, because to understand the deep things of God, and this is Paul talking about his gospel, and he was going into the gospel, and this has a deal also with people about judging things or whatever. But we'll start at the 9th verse. But as it is written, I had not seen, nor ear had heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God had prepared for them that love him. So, it's not in natural man. Now, see, that's, go back to our, what I'm starting from, Ecclesiastes, the first chapter. Solomon didn't see those things, because he says, I hadn't seen, nor ear heard, no enter into the heart of man, in other words, the mind of man, the things which God had prepared for them that loved him. Okay. So, but we have to look at the conjunction that ties that together. That's to the physical man. That's to Solomon. That's for the people that like to see things and has to see things. So, what it is, when somebody says you have to speak, you pray or whatever. Well, your expression is given to emotions. You want to hear, touch, or feel, or see. It's given to emotion. But that's not how God communicates with man. That's why when a lot of people tell me the Spirit of the Lord told them that or whatever, those people are way down on my list as well. Be careful and watch that person. He's more than less likely not spiritual. In my life, I can tell you all the people who always tell me, well, the Spirit of the Lord told me the Spirit of the Lord. If you look at Jeremiah, most of the time, those people don't know the Spirit of the Lord from their own spirit. They're not spiritual at all. They're physical people. And it's self-talking to them. Because that's not, God said Moses was the only one he would communicate with like that. When he heard audible voice. Anybody else telling you about audible voices from God and all that, the Spirit of the Lord? More than less likely, not. Okay, he says, but God had revealed them unto us by his Spirit. So these things and none, what I hadn't seen, what ear hadn't heard, neither entered into the heart. He says, God had revealed them to us by his Spirit. He revealed it to us, not just the apostles. He's talking about the people of God. He's talking about Anna that was in the temple praying. He's talking about Simeon that blessed Mary and Joseph when they came in the temple because they knew who the Messiah was. He's talking about God's people. That's what I say. God's people are yearning and looking for people that has the same spirit as he has so they can attach on to that and grow by that spirit. Because they know that's how God communicates, is through your mind, through revealing knowledge to your mind. His spirit to your spirit. His spirit to your human spirit. That's why he told Peter, flesh and blood hadn't revealed that to you. We just said that in verse 9. I hadn't seen, ear hadn't heard, neither has entered into the hearts of men, and the heart is the mind. You remember I told you that. He says, Peter, flesh and blood hadn't revealed to you that I am the Son of God. He says, my Father revealed it to you. God has revealed it by Spirit. So God communicates by Spirit. So these people that's talking about speaking, that's why when you go to talking about tongues and everything, well, that's a way of God communicating. But when people are talking about they talking tongues or whatever, watch those, because most of the time those are demonic tongues. See, because when God's speaking to you in tongues, usually there's someone to interpret what it is, and that person is speaking a language that normally nobody else knows but that person that they're talking to. Not the interpreter. The interpreter knows the language, but there's a foreigner, somebody else that speak that dialect that they know that you couldn't have spoken that. God had to speak that through you because you didn't know what you said. You didn't know what you told me. I understood what you told me. I understood it was from God. That interpreter interpreted so that the whole audience would know it's from God. That's why you got all these little hut-like churches and things, people running around here playing with the Spirit, talking about talking in tongues and preachers, because they're not in touch with God. And they're trying to get you from in touch with God. That's why he says come out from among them, because for some reason, a lot of the churches you've left, a lot of the people you've left, something wasn't right about them. Have you noticed that? If you think about it, something wasn't right about you, and I just wasn't comfortable with you. I don't care how well you preached or what you said, how big your church you said, I just felt something wasn't right with you. And that's the Spirit of God. It's a kindred spirit. He says, for the Spirit searcheth all things. Yes, the deep things of God. The Spirit goes into your inner man. That's the inner thing that it's getting involved with. It's all the way to the discerning to the marrow of the bone. It splits that. It's able to judge the intents of the heart. He searches the ring. That's why the Spirit, it says, we don't know how to pray like we ought to. So that's why when he's saying pray with the understanding, I'm more or less Bible-based. I'm like the Bible sometimes. I get before God a lot of times and pray and don't say one word because, well, I don't even know what to say. I don't even know how to present this to you. That's what makes, things like that make me feel like I'm not the only one. That you just, I don't know what to say. I just get down on my knees and just say, Lord, and cry. Because I don't have the words. In God's Bible, his word tells me, you know not what to pray for. You don't even know what to ask. And that's what I'm feeling. I don't know what to ask you for because I wanted to pray about my this and that, but I don't want to pray prayers of implication. I don't know what to ask for because if I ask for this, I don't know. I'm confused. I don't know whether to curse this person or tell you this and that. So I'm just not going to say nothing. I'm just here crying, Lord, you know. So I wouldn't fit in that church because there's a lot of times I get before God, don't say nothing but cry and don't have the word, searching for the word, asking him, and I just get there and cry. And I'm glad you told me that because that's the way I am a lot of times. I just can't get the words. I don't get down there with Our Father prayers and this and that there with that form prayer. I just get on my knees crying, but I don't know what to say. A lot of people, that's a rote prayer, what they pray with out of Matthew. Well, it make me feel empty just to even say that. I just need to cry because I don't know what to say. I don't have the words. So if that preacher telling me this and that, then Lord, he's didn't confuse me because he's telling me I know what to say and I don't know what to say. So, he says, the Spirit, no one knows the things of God except by the Spirit of God. When he had promised the Spirit to his disciples, as he called it, the Spirit of truth, which it will guide you and lead you into all truth. It will not speak of its own authority, but whatever it hears, it will speak and it will tell you things to come. Don't you feel a little bit relieved when you pray like that, though? When you get up off your knees, you felt, I've done a lot of time, I don't even have the words. I just get up and I felt that I've gotten in contact with God. Better than if I had got down there 10, 20 minutes speaking and saying something because a whole lot of words don't mean God hears you. Over and over, much speaking. I hear a lot of people praying and thinking, it kind of throws me off. I used to go to prayer service, I'm like, they're saying, it's throwing me off, I'm like, well, we don't need to come to prayer service or something because this sounds really throwing me off what they're saying. And they come there with some crazy, crazy things to say or something. So I'm saying, no one needs to enter into your closet to pray. Because these people here, this is more or less show, this is pomp and circumstances or whatever. So the Spirit taught Simeon and Anna just as it taught the apostles, just as it teaches us today. It says, you don't have no need of no one to teach you, for the Spirit itself teaches you all things. And that's what it does. That's what a preacher does, or the leaders and the teachers. They confirm what's going on in your life. That's why I say politics, everything that's going on out in the world. That's why a lot of times I ask questions of anybody and they know, because the only way you can react to get understanding to something is that you hear and understand what they're saying, or hear they say, oh, what's going on. And then you can converse in a conversation. But please, don't put me back in some of these holiness churches of churches where every time you ask, oh, it's going fine, it's going. You know, and then they got all kinds of problems and things in your life. You mean you come into church lying and going on, you claiming it is fine, and your life is going to hell in a handbag. But you don't want to tell nobody, says, confess your faults, confess to one another. But people, it's good. That's why I ask you, I say, well, it's all good. And, you know, that confuses me, because I'm like, you know, I'm upset with my kids sometime or whatever. You time me of all this y'all doing is foolishness and going on. All this working and moving around, I ain't for that. That's for the kids and all y'all to do. Get your stuff together. If y'all want to do this for the four, I'll be here and I'll take pleasure in that. But so far as me getting involved in all this work is just a vanity and vexation of spirit to me. I've done that when I was young. You get somebody else to do that, that's not on my level anymore. God has raised me up to walk and teach and preach the gospel and study the gospel. And that's what the apostles say. But what Satan wants to do, he wants to hold you down. That's why it says, pray for the understanding. Teach me your statutes. I want to take time and get into the Word of God. Because in these holidays and different things, I have to get back, because I don't want to get gluttony, but I don't want to be a stick in the mud. But let's give me a little taste of this or whatever. But no, I don't want anything to drink. I don't want. I just want to think. I just want to see everybody else happy. But if I could meditate on spiritual things while y'all are doing this, and put this in a spiritual context, that's why it says in the book of Psalms, the 19th chapter, 119th chapter, 33-48. And they said that this psalm is actually a mixed psalm. Some of this psalm is from Moses, David, Asaph, and so forth. This is the longest psalm in the Bible. Teach me, O Lord, thine way and thine statutes, and I shall keep it until the end. Give me understanding, and I shall keep thine law. Yea, I shall observe it with my whole heart. Make me to go in the path of thy commandments, for therein doeth I delight. Incline mine heart unto thine testimonies, and not to covetousness. Turn away my eyes from beholding vanity, and quicken thou me in the way. Establish thy word unto thine servant, who is devoted to thine fear. Turn away my reproach, which I fear, for thy judgments are good. Behold, I have longed after thine precepts. Quicken me in thine righteousness. Precepts. And we know the Word of God has to be precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little, there a little. The Bible has to be put together. It's in shattered pieces, and we are to put it together. And what helps me to put it together and helps me to stand is that if I can speak this word to people and speak it and testify, as I told you in Paris Lumia was, you remember a little short Mike that used to work in the front writing a paper, a little bullet, and the guy in the back, Gotro. All I say was, the Lord has said that, you know, the Lord will work through you, say, but the devil wants to sift you like wheat. But when you come around, strengthen thine brother. And I've been wanting to testify, you know, Satan has put me through so much, but I want to strengthen y'all through the things that I've been through. That's why I met you at preaching and teaching. And if you notice, it's always been controversial. But I've always looked and wanted to attach hold to something, that I can see that it's only a few, as he said, a remnant to start to understand, and you can discard all of the other. You could start to discard people. You could start not to be afraid of different preachers and teachings and everything, because God says if it's not true, that man's preaching what's not supposed to be, or he's not observing the commandments of God. Fear not that man, because what they want to do is bring you into bondage. They want to slow you down. They want to hinder you from your progress in Christ, because look like every time you get started, somebody or something comes along to try to impede your progress or say this or say that. And I'm tired of these things getting in my way because I want to reach out for God. So teach me your precepts and your law. Give me understanding. And that's hard to do, especially in this day and time. It's so many things grasping and grabbing for our attention. And we have to, that's why I said, we have to put the old man to death. So, you know, I told him, well, I could see the fireworks from my porch. We can see the fireworks from our porch. My son and went and bought, I don't know, I guess they got a couple $100 worth of fireworks. But when they was buying the fireworks, and they were saying that they was doing it for the grandkids and the brothers and the whole family. You guys said, well, look, a family, y'all doing that day, I got to contribute. I got to get something. So he gave him some back. So I don't know how many. They was talking about the rockets, the military, it just all of the stuff they got. And I say, that's a blessing. And the reason he give you that is that when you tell people about familyness and togetherness and you try to do it as one, he blesses that. And that's what John says. There's nothing give him more pleasure than his people together enjoying and loving one another. So if this is the occasion, that's why I said I'm not a demagogue on anything and this and that there. But if they want to enjoy it, I'll get pleasure out of seeing them enjoying it. But I'm trying to see Christ in all that. All that time, I'd be meditating on what was taught or what I have to teach Saturday. Because the things of this world cease to give me the pleasure it used to do. Shooting fireworks doesn't give me pleasure. Watching it, these holidays, none of this stuff gives me pleasure anymore. The things that you do watching television or these things is just for companionship. A lot of things, if you're married, you do it just because you're married. And that's why God says that if you're married, you can't serve the Lord as you want to because you have to also please your wife. You know, and that's why a lot of times some men don't make good leaders because they're not stronger than their wives and they end up pleasing their wives more than they please God. They don't know how to tell their wives no. They can't. Josiah is one that was in the reverse of this. He didn't have the understanding of God, and it seems as though David didn't have that understanding. That's why he was always praying for, this is a psalm of David, praying for understanding. That he didn't have the, couldn't apply that wisdom correctly. See, because sometimes you can be too earthly minded to be any spiritual good, any heavenly good. And sometimes you could be too heavenly minded to be any earthly good. And God left us in the world. So you have to provide a balancing act. Martha couldn't perform that balancing act. She was too encumbered with worry. And that's why a lot of times I'd be trying to slow him down some, because I need for him to be stronger spiritually. I need the people around me to be stronger spiritually to help anchor me, to help guide and be fruitful in the church and the things of God, because it's Satan's working on every end to untie every loose end, and that was Josiah's problem. His inner circle wasn't strong spiritually. His people around him didn't understand the word of God. No one could tell him what God had said, and that's why he lost his life. They couldn't intervene. They couldn't talk to Josiah. And I guess I told you about it the other day. I talked about it maybe on Sabbath services. This lady that was in the general administration that had said something about the tax base and the tax thing that he had came up with, it wasn't going to work. And see, the very next day she resigned. And you know, like I said, he's a heavy-handed one. You either agree with him or you're gone. Mike Foster, I had the article to print it and bring it and show it to you. But that's why I say we need more women. It's more, just like I was telling you about the shooter, Mike woman, we need more women. And then in the ministry, you will see working in the churches more women also, because they're normally stronger than a lot of men are, because men can't come to that decision. They overcome the wives and the wives overcome the women. That was the problem with the shooter, Mike woman. But this woman had voiced her opinion and told him this wasn't going to work. This tax thing wasn't going to come out right. So she resigned the next day. But to make a long story short, she got hired the next week. She had six different people that was trying to hire her. Someone in California hired her. She's going to make, I don't know how many thousands of dollars more than she was making here. And then the state of Louisiana has to pay her $7,000 and something a month in retirement fee. But see, you have to stand up. And like I say, standing up for God, it's going to cost you a lot of times. But she wasn't worried about that. She didn't know this was going to turn this way. But she took that stand. See, that's the thing that the people stand for God. They had this thing on Vic Staley, and he's in the paper this week, and I tell you, that's who was saying that. See, they're raping the state economy now. General is sinking it. This state's going to sink in the next week, months. Over a few years, you'll see the educational base going to be devolved. All your young people going to leave the state. You're going to have that. They're dumbing the state down. You're going to have uneducated people. You're going to have uneducated labor force. Business is not going to come with an uneducated labor force. And that's what they're trying to do, make a cultural divide where it be the only the very rich hiring the very poor to do work for minimum amount and remove most state restraints, state pensions, everything for the state or whatever. But without an understanding of religion, you can't see this working in the political scene, because the preachers are tied in with these things. The churches are tied in with these things. That's what Jeremiah seen, and he said, Lord, was I deceived? Did it deceive me? See, because the understanding, when you start getting the understanding, he's not going to give you the understanding until you get the fear of God. Because if you get the understanding without that, you'll be afraid. You'll be fearful. So the precepts, you have to learn the precepts of God. A precept is a command of principle intended as a general action. So you have to start realizing how God works. And it's an order issued by a legally constituted authority to a subordinate official. So the word of God is his precepts, but the preachers and the politicians distort those, they change those. I didn't want to say anything against the preacher that you named or whatever. But it was the preachers and the priests who corrupted God's word and changed the understanding, so the people wasn't praying right. The people wasn't going to God right. Isaiah 11 and 1. And I talked about Solomon last time in Ecclesiastes that he said it was all vanity and vexation of spirit, because he was looking at it from a natural man's point of view. He had lost his bearing and he had lost his way because he had went into licentiousness. He had went into the way of the world. And even with his wisdom and understanding, he fell from grace. So it's not only that, it's that the Spirit has to be in you. Remember I tell you, the Spirit of God reveals these things to you. It opens up your understanding. Without the Spirit of God in you to open up your understanding, before you go to, well, let's go ahead and get that out of the way since I send you there. And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, and the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, and the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. And shall make him a quick understanding in the fear of the Lord. And he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes. You remember we just now talked about it. It can't be after your eyes. It can't be after your hearing. nor reprove after the hearing of his ears, but with righteousness he shall judge the poor and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth, and he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth. In other words, he shall speak the word of God against those things that are wrong. Like I was saying, I think that's wrong what they're saying in prayer. I think what these people are telling you are wrong, and you have to speak. Now, that's one thing we do have to speak aloud. We do have to speak the word of God. We have to speak reproof and judgment as priests of God to bring it into the earth. That's the authority. That's the precept that God uses, that his word is to judge. The law brings that in through faith. We have established the laws of God by speaking the word of God. We have to speak the word. Keep speaking the word, preaching the word. The word casts out all fear. It casts out all darkness. It bringeth light. The entrance of God's word bringeth light. So we have to speak the word. And that's what he was going to reprove with his mouth. He was the words for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. And that's why if you're learning this here and you go home or you go to another church or go somewhere else, and, you know, that's why I said, well, you know, I gave you that answer because I think you'll stand up on that answer. But if you go by that, and it's some people, they wouldn't harm a flea. They will let somebody else speak that evil thing into them, and there, that word that God give you will bring more darkness into your life because now you're getting something that you won't even stand for. You allowing somebody to preach or teach you something that you know not right, and God had given you the truth, and you won't even stand up on that truth. That's why we can't yield. He hadn't made us pacifists in that fashion, that we have to speak God's word, or else, what? Stay away, avoid the people that's speaking these things. Stay away from the room. So, the Old Testament is concealed in the New Testament. This is what we are talking about, understanding everything. It's concealed in the New Testament. But the New Testament is, I say that backwards. The New Testament is concealed in the Old Testament. See where I just now gave you that from chapter 11. And I gave you that out of Psalms. I'm going to give you something out of Proverbs. That's hid. That's the messianic word. That's Jesus Christ hid in the Old Testament. Christ had always been here. God had always talked about Jesus Christ, but the people couldn't see it because he hadn't gave them that revelation yet. The Spirit hadn't been given. The Spirit, that power that he's talking about that we shall receive here in chapter 11, this should be in us. It's not only talking about Christ. It's talking about us. The Spirit shall come and rest upon us. Just like the tongues of fire, the Spirit came and rest upon the disciples in the upper room. That's why he told them to tarry in Jerusalem. Don't go preach the gospel, but tarry until you receive power from on high. You need the power of the Spirit to preach this gospel because you have to be able to understand it. And that's why people don't want to hear the Old Testament, because it confuses them. They can't see Jesus in it. But Jesus is in the Old Testament. Go to Luke, the 24th chapter of Luke. And that's when you know that God's in your life and you can feel yourself strengthening, is when you start getting to the strong meat of the word. These disciples on the road of Emmaus, Luke, the 24th chapter, with the start on the 44th verse. They had been walking with him all this time and hadn't recognized him, who he was or whatever, and they had been a witness to him to all these things. And he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet here with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses, and in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me. I just read you something from the book of Psalms. I read you something from the book of Isaiah. I've consistently showed you things in the law and told you we can't discard of the law and the statutes of God because those are about Jesus Christ. And he was telling these disciples, I spoke these things when I was here with you concerning me. But they couldn't understand it because their eyes was closed. Their eyes was had a veil over it. We could talk about that veil in just a minute. He says, verse 45, then he opened their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. And said to them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day. On the third day. Not on Easter, but on the third day. So, he has to open up your understanding. The Spirit is the only thing that can reveal the deep things of God to you. People that read the New Testament think they know the deep things of God. And Jezebel in the book of Revelation, that Spirit had told people that it understood and knew the deep things of God, which it did. God has to open up your understanding for you to understand the Scripture. That's why I've been telling you consistently. From Genesis to Revelation, God has never written his word where people can open up the Bible and just read the Bible and understand the Bible. Because it requires a person of God to explain it to you, to put it together, to put it in order for you. Because it has to be precept upon precept, line upon line. It can't be contradictory. That was contradictory what was told to you. You see, well, that contradicts itself because God says we don't know what to pray for. So how can we speak that? All we can do is cry out to God. That's why you hear cry out to God, not knowing what how God will deliver you or what's God doing in that. Now, I just told you I was going to elaborate on something here about go to book Romans 11, Romans 11 chapter. If you would read this whole scripture, this whole chapter here, it's about Paul was speaking of Israel and the people of today about reading God's word. He says, I say then, had God cast away his people, God forbid, for I am also an Israelite of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. God had not cast away his people, which he foreknew, what the scripture says of Elias, how he made an intercession to God against Israel. And he goes in to talk about Isaiah was saying that he was the only one and they had killed the prophets all day long and the understanding of it, we'll keep on going, I'm not going to explain it all. But as we get down in there to the 10th verse, it says, let their eyes be darkened that they may not see and bow down their back away. That was David praying to the Lord. And he says, let their table be a snare and a trap and a stumbling block and a recompense. And he says, I say, have they stumbled that they should fall? God forbid. But rather through their fall, salvation is coming to the Gentiles for to provoke them to jealousy. So, this is how we have the scripture that God had darkened their understanding so they couldn't see, so they would stumble and fall, but he would bring us in. But if keep reading there about we shouldn't boast that God was opening up our understanding, that we should understand the scriptures, but that until this present moment, turn your book pages to the 28th verse. So, all Israel shall be saved, as it is written, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. Now, when he says all, he means all of the predestinated one, the one God had chosen to be saved. He don't mean all as it's in the entirety of Israel. He's meaning all those, the seed of Abraham. Abraham's seed is only the ones of faith. Abraham had two sons, one of the bondwoman and one of faith. And he's talking about Israel of faith. he says, "For this is my covenant unto them when I shall take away their sins. As concerning the gospel, they are enemies for the gospel's sake." But you see why he keeps talking about Israel's darkness. Well, we have that same darkness, and we keep on to the 12th verse, but men have that darkness even unto day. A veil is over them when reading the law of Moses. If you notice, Israel still hadn't turned to Jesus. A lot of the Jews hadn't turned to Jesus. Man hadn't turned to Jesus in the United States, nowhere through the world, except those who God had predestinated. He had revealed himself. He had opened this up to them. That's why I was asking y'all, do y'all be wondering in this political election and doing with some of the churches that are following the different candidates, do you wonder about the churches? See, this election throws more light on the religious people in the United States than it does on the politicians. It shows you what state Christianity is in. What a terrible state, you know. If you see the state of Louisiana, if you see the states and what Christianity is doing, you should really be giving your whole heart to God if you're understanding this. That's why you have to pray to God to open your understanding if you don't see what's going on. It is something very terrible going on. Jeremiah seen this. Isaiah seen this. The prophet seen this. The apostles and the people during that time seen it. But only a few people see it. All people don't see it. That's why I said you have to keep praying for this day by day. You have to keep this walk up. And the more stronger you get, the more he can reveal it to you. But he's not going to allow you to fully understand it because it would overwhelm you. It would overcome you because too much at one time is not good for a person. He would be putting more on you than you can bear because you don't realize how many in your household is against you, how many just around you. If you was to see all the people that were against you, it would give you literally a nervous breakdown. Your body hadn't came to that point. Your mind hadn't came to that point where you could handle it. That's why people have mental breakdowns and things. It's because it's too much stress on their bodies. When the same thing spiritually. But we should be growing. And I don't know if the church is growing today. So there's a veil over all our eyes while doing this, so we should pray for understanding. Let's go to Isaiah, the 28th chapter. I hope I'm not confusing you here, and that's why I say, please, get online, get this sermon online, keep your notes, and go over and over, because it's only through redundancy that you can get things like this, that you have to. But a lot of people think you can buy a book and just a three-step thing and you have this within days or have this within a short time, and it's not that easy. Here he's talking about the priests and the prophets have corrupted Israel. They are the ones who have untaught or they taught people error. He says, but they also have erred through wine and through strong drink and are all out of the way. Now, wine and strong drink here, he's not talking about alcohol. Physically hidden in the Old Testament. You remember I said it was the New Testament's concealed in the Old Testament? So this is physical language for the Old Testament about drunkenness, but the New Testament, the Old Testament is revealed in the New Testament. So what this is, they're spiritually drunk. The prophets are spiritually corrupted. In other words, what has happened today, the priest church and the political leaders are spiritually corrupt. That's why in the New Testament he used the word spiritual adultery and fornication. Is because they have too many doctrines. They've eaten or drunken of the wine of God's wrath, which we're going to see in the book of Jeremiah. Have y'all started reading the book of Jeremiah yet? You have? Well, that's good. It may not be making much sense to you, but it'll come as we do it. Just keep on rereading it. It's the longest book in the Bible, but it tells you the condition of the people at that time, and it parallels this time. It's the same condition. Whereas the men knew, know that their families are corrupt. Have you got to that point yet? Where the men knew their wives and their children and everyone was corrupt, but they were helping them along doing this, and that's the same it is today. So God was saying they was going to have to drink of his wine, of his wrath. In other words, they start going to churches and going to different churches and going to each other's churches. And what happens is, it's spiritual adultery, it's spiritual fornication. It corrupts, and it's corrupted. The man carries the whole household away. I think I seen a thing on television the other night where Tom Cruise and his wife was divorcing because he wants to raise the child in Scientology, the Church of Christian Science or whatever, and she's a Catholic or whatever. See, that's too different. Now, it never could work. My daughter and wife's name, we were sitting there, and she would say, I don't see why they married or whatever. Yeah, see, a lot of times you can't see this initially, but then that's why it says don't be unequally yoked. See, because you got two different doctrines, and they're not the same. You have a problem then. It's prevalent in the culture. Now, it's not just with them. And he said that's the reason Nicole Kidman had divorced, because it's two different doctrines, and religion is everything. Spirituality is everything. So when you do these things, you don't realize how bad you're messing your family and everybody else up. And it says the priest had did this. It says the priest and the prophets have erred through strong drink. They are swallowed up of wine. They are all out of the way through strong drink. They err in vision. They stumble in judgment. Whatever they're leading and guiding you into is wrong. It's the wrong judgments. It's not the judgments of God. That's what I say. You have to watch politically and religiously that it's the people that lead you out of the way of error, and you can't notice it because the blind is leading the blind. God hadn't opened up your understanding because you love darkness. If you didn't love darkness, you would raise up and like you can't even say, look, is this right when somebody say, pray this or when this and that, and you get away from around that person and you say, well, no, this ain't right. That's why you see different people stand up. But once you acquiesce, God said, well, hold on now, Jeremiah, you didn't got confounded or you confused. Now I'm going to confound you, you're confused because you had the truth and you wouldn't hold on to it. You wouldn't stand up for it. You have to stand up for the truth of God. If you don't stand for something, you fall for anything.
That's another guy I seen. He was telling me, if you don't speak in tongues, you don't have the Holy Ghost in you. I'm saying to myself, I don't already know you get a certain measure of spirit in your body. I mean, if you become a new person, you'll be born again. But he said, you got to speak in tongues now. I know that's not true.
1 Corinthians, 13th chapter. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become a sounding brass or as a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and I have all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I have nothing. Go all the way down to the 8th verse. Charity never faileth, he says. But whether there be prophecies, what happened to prophecies? Prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Hold on. Now he said, unless you speak in tongues, you don't have the Holy Ghost. Why did Paul say, whether there be tongues, they shall cease? Tongues is not a sign that you have the Holy Ghost. See, that was for the infantile church. When the church was in its young stage, when the first church was being formed, it had the gift of tongues. The church is in a mature status now. The church is in a mature state. Right? So you can run across people, and if I was talking like a baby now, if my child still was talking like a baby, I said, well, look, what you babbling for? you need to talk so I can understand you. If my 30-year-old son come in here, I said, well, son, don't babble to me. What you got to say? Because it comes a time when my son talks to me as a man because he's a man. When you're a child, you speak as a child. So the church was in its infantile state. That was tongues then. That's the biggest deception it is now. That's why the Bible tells you the devil will come with lying tongues. Because it's clear now. It's clear now. And the gift of tongues has all but what I'm saying is, that's part of the demonic part is that they're looking at Scripture and not knowing that we have to go on to profession, and that was an infantile state, that the tongue was only for those during those times as a confirmation to somebody else. Tongue doesn't, speaking in a tongue doesn't make you spiritual. That's why Paul was telling about the tongue. So I said, look at Hebrews, the sixth chapter in the first verse. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on to perfection, laying aside again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptisms, and of laying on of hands, of the resurrection of dead, of eternal judgment. This we will do if God permit. In other words, all of these elemental doctrines that people tell you, you have to be baptized in a certain way, that you have to do this, all those elemental doctrines, the only thing that the Bible says is that believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall receive. This is a gift, and there's no confirmation whereby that you would know that there is a difference whether this person really has the Spirit or not. That's why when they had to send for Peter and the apostles from Antioch. So unless you was an apostle at that time, you didn't know or not. That's why they sent for Peter. Simon was there. He was bewitching the people. Because we'll come in here with the tongues and saying this about tongues, and we do believe in speaking in tongues. But there is God does everything decent and in order. There are principles. That's why I say there is a precept for tongues. There is a necessary reason for tongues. So if these people were speaking in tongues as a confirmation of the Holy Ghost, why was the people able to interpret those tongues on the day of Pentecost? And they say, well, I know that this is the Spirit of God because we each heard them in our own language. Right. See, so there is the miracle. See, and when you're talking about a lot of these holiness churches, these are churches where a lot of times the preacher can't even read or whatever, and that they're so backwards and so out of touch that they're really lost and they're hindering their people. But what happens was, just think how many people in the upper room, the thousands mingling outside of the upper room. And when these people started to talk in tongues, can you imagine 120 people all speaking in different tongues and you got 3,000 people listening and they hear in their dialect, in their tongue? That's how they knew that this was God, this was the gift of God, because above all these dialects, each man was able to hear what the Spirit was speaking to him in tongues. So that's why when people tell you go have to hide in the woods to hear God speak to you, whatever he get ready to speak to you, he could speak to you in the midst of a thousand people, millions of people. So these people heard these words, they heard, and they said, are not all of these Galileans who are saying this? The manifestation of the tongues was for the people that were hearing them as a sign. That's why Jesus said he had came with the signs and things to prove this, to preach this. The sign was for that time. That's why you don't hear or see of all these people being raised from the dead and all this time. This is some foolish on television, some preacher sitting in some backwoods town in Africa or somewhere, whatever. But see, all these things you have to clear out of the church and really not give them credence. That's why I say,
It's got preachers from right here. It's a preacher right here. He would contradict what I say. But that's the problem, is that this is vanishing away, and the church has to start preaching perfection. The church has to lay aside all of these things and go on to understanding, because if we don't, that's the very ones that are not understanding what's going on in the political arena. That's the very ones that don't understand that sometimes it takes 4 or 5 years to see the things the president done or what's going on. Do you know the majority of the people don't know anything about the Affordable Health Care Act that the Supreme Court just said was constitutional? Most people don't know anything about it because they don't study, they don't read. You have to read, and you can't read just a portion, so you have to be impartial. You have to read and study both sides of the matter. You have to know who's lying to you or not. So that's what I said. We have to look for, as the Joker said on The Dark Knight, use this because I liked that movie. Spiritually, I got a lot out of it. But he said Gotham City needed a better grade of criminal. We need a better grade of Christians. We need a more spiritual grade of Christians, because we can't detect the liars from that which is holy, and that means we're deceived. If the nation, that's why I say a lot of them got what's coming, a lot of poor people will get what's coming to them because they're lazy. They won't vote. They won't get out and vote. How many people of our parents and things to get out and go vote? How many of them right now can tell you about these, and it's affecting them directly? It's affecting them directly. These are the ones that has to be cast out, because it could come a time. Well, some of the things that these people are saying are right on the other side. Some of these things are right. You see what I'm saying? Not as a whole. But they're going about it the wrong way. But the ones that are allowing it are the ones that are not doing anything. Do you know the majority of the vote that goes uncounted and uneducated? That's why I say it's mighty dangerous. But it has to come upon these people. That's why I say it's a lot of Christians that are being wiped out in this coming tribulation, and we're going to study that, because of a lack of understanding. That's why I'll drop a subject. I didn't teach as much as I wanted to tonight. If I have questions, if I have somebody in our midst that don't understand something, because I would rather you have understanding. We're not trying to save the world. The world can't be saved, and the Bible tells us that. The world is already on its destruction course. But I can only give account for those that are in this room. Now, those that are here and here and abroad, hopefully they'll help you in the spirit of care, and we pray for those. But the church also is in loose segments, and God's church is growing. But it's better to have a few that's really understanding than have a whole church that don't understand, don't know. Because most of the churches are lost. If we could get men that started to understand, that's how Christ's disciples grow. That's how they multiply, because the few are overtake the many. It's not given to the many. It's going to be a remnant church that makes it. But if you get out and you betray Christ and you betray the church, he said, woe be unto that man. So we're going to stop here. Heavenly Father, Lord God, we may not have gotten all we need to get from you tonight, Lord God, but we got that which you gave us as a sufficiency, Lord God, that if we pray and meditate upon that, Lord God, that we would grow thereby, Lord God. Help us to be safe in this day and time, Lord God. Help us to be able to study your word, Lord God, to pray with understanding, Lord God, to hunger and thirst for your righteousness, to be filled, Lord God, to grow in the grace and knowledge and understanding of you. Oh, Father, help us to be more spiritual in you, Lord God, to strengthen us. And we know through understanding, Lord God, that that way is through suffering. In Jesus' name, help us. Amen and amen.